good to be with everyone. I'm going to go ahead and start the broadcast. Moments away. We'll get everybody on the broadcast. Bear with us just for a moment. Okay, welcome to Tuesday night and our celebration of life. We've had a few people tell us they're having trouble getting on the video broadcast tonight. We must have a little glitch with our Ustream product. We'll have to wait just a moment to see if everybody's able to get on. If not, we'll have everybody get on the telephone call this evening. And if you know anybody who might be trying to get on this call, if you just let them know the code so they can get on and be with us tonight, that would be wonderful. So good to be with everyone. These Tuesday nights are one of our favorite times. We look forward to them all day. And want to be able to bring something of value to you in the evening. And I've been in a very interesting space today, reflecting on tonight, feeling a need to go through a couple of things, maybe in review even, before we go into this section called Discipline and Structure. I want to tell you just a little bit about these thought processes in Discipline and Structure, and then share how they get in the way of what we're doing. Now, if you have an assessment, and I'm going to just take a dip down here and grab one. In our assessments, the thought processes that we're going to be talking about tonight are on the left-hand side. The three most prominent, most often impacted, is the third measurement down, disciplined, and then the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th down, teachable, and then the 9th one down, analytical. These are very interesting thought processes. They work differently than every other thought that we have. They're called systemic thoughts. There happens to be about, there's 12 of them in total, but these are the three we're going to talk about tonight, the three most powerful ones. In terms of discipline, the question we ask really is, are our thoughts supporting structure? Is there an intrinsic value for structure? And the vast majority, if you look at your assessment or disciplines, you may find that it's orange. It may be green, just a couple of spaces out of order. But orange, it starts to get three or four spaces. Red, it could be significantly more than that. This is a measurement that's saying, okay, when someone tries to impose on you a structure, this is their idea of how something should be done. What happens? Do we embrace the idea? This is not about the person giving it to us. That's in the next measurement. This is just the idea. How do we respond to the idea of systems, structure, order, discipline, policies, procedures? And the vast majority of entrepreneurial people are resistant to structure. The mindset, the thought processes that show up sound like this. I'm structured. Boy, I get up at 6 o'clock, I'll do this and this and this and this. They're highly structured, but it's self-driven structure. It's an appreciation for structure from what's over on the other side. They're self-directed in terms of structure. This is structure that's imposed on us. And when someone tries to impose structure, the idea, an entrepreneur will go, well, does it make sense? That interesting approach. Does it make sense? Well, if it doesn't make sense, why would we do it? That's why we see in some businesses where there are a lot of entrepreneurs involved, like a network marketing business, there could be a lot of conflict. Because if it doesn't make sense to someone, they don't want to do it. But yet a person above them in their organization may be attempting to come up with an idea, a blanket, a common denominator that they can impose on the entire team and get everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing. Not knowing that 99.5% of the people in that particular profession are naturally resistant to structure. The very word structure raises the hair up on the back of their necks. Does it make sense? Well, it doesn't make sense to the individual. They're not going to do it, and they're going to have a natural aversion to the idea in the first place. Now we know. Entrepreneurial people are not just independent. Entrepreneurial people who are going to manage entrepreneurial people will want to be as sensitive to how their language sounds to another as they are with somebody else's language sounding to them. Now, we call this thinking outside the box. I just want us to be with this. Don't go into confusion because this can sound very technical. We deal with this all day long. This is one of the great impediments to success, is this disciplined measurement gone awry. We want to think outside the box. We want our own box. We want what makes sense to us. That's reasonable. Our challenge is when we decide this is my box, this is where I want to be, the risk is that an entrepreneurial person will want everybody else to climb in and agree with that box. That's not going to happen. Because everybody's got their own box. And they want everybody to be in their box. So there's a battle that turns into a very dangerous right-wrong discussion. See, systemic thoughts are so unique because they don't have practical elements. You don't negotiate systemically. You do that extrinsically, practically. A systemic thought processes mathematically in a dualistic way. It's like a computer programmer who programs in ones and zeros. There's no one and a half. There's no one and a quarter. It's a one or it is a zero. There's no two. There's no three. It's a one or it's a zero. And at the end and bottom of every calculation, every shortcut in program, we get back to ones and zeros. It's called a binary system, one or a zero. This is dualistic in nature. And this is how this thought process works. If you can see my hands on this hand over here, this is a positive charge. This is a negative charge in a magnet. There's nothing in between. It's either positive or it's negative. There's not a neutral in a magnet. It's positive or it's negative. It's right or it's wrong. It's life or it's death. It's all or it's nothing. That's all a systemic thought can do. That's why when you look at your assessment, you see the two measurements above it. Passionate is intrinsically valuing what we do and the practical basis of what we do. Empathetic is valuing the intrinsic value of the human being. Those two things are above even a system for that reason. So that we don't get so stuck on the system, the right, wrong, win-lose of it, that we crush human beings to be right. That doesn't make any sense. But that's one of the great risks. So as we go into this discussion of what's keeping me from connecting with people and using my mind constructively and being present in the now and doing my power sessions, well, this is one of the challenges. I shared with you power sessions last week. It was my idea. Now, when that idea came to me, it lit me on fire, and I got excited to do it. I share it, and every time I do it the risk that someone's going to be viewing it systemically, right, wrong, win, lose, life, death, and they're going to be a natural resistance, truly. Not the person, but their thought processes, their habits of thinking, naturally resistant to structure. So this last week, as you're doing your power sessions, you're picking those three times when you're going to be fully present to the now and you're going to be taking on your life. You're going to bring your body and your mind in the same place. You're going to be totally present. The power is in that you're present. That's the power. You are present. You're doing a power session. I suggest that we could support that with reading scroll 5 and 9 and 7 and doing some journaling, that would help. Spending a few moments in the morning deciding which times in the day would be best for power sessions. But the focus is the power session. How did you do? How did you do? When it came morning, what did your thought processes tell you about reading scroll 5? If you and I were to read scroll 5 together from a practical standpoint of blessing your life to awaken you and make that decision, you're not going to let one drop spill upon the sand, not today. And almost all of us are going to have times in the morning when we don't feel that way. We override it. We say, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go do this. And when we get into action, something happens, we get more excited, and the day becomes greater and better. But initially, those thought processes are present. What happened when we said we're going to read scroll 5? What in the world showed up to talk you out of reading a scroll that would set you up beautifully to be prepared for whatever would happen that day? How can we be talked out of this? Because these thought processes are very powerful. Go to the next one, teachable. It's not whether you are or are not teachable. The question is, how much pressure is put on being able to see the practical benefits of following a person in a position of authority? What are the practical benefits? If you have a job, you may not like what's happening, but there are times when we'll bite our tongue and just not say what we're thinking, because that's who pays us. That's where we get our paycheck. Some people say, I just can't put up with this anymore, and they quit. Well, great, now go find another job. And some people can't help but speak. Take a look at your teachable and see if it's orange or red. And if it is, just ask yourself that question. Have I ever said something? Maybe I don't wish I could have taken it back. Maybe I'm glad I said it, but did it get me in trouble? Did it even get me fired? Have I said it in relationships? Just know this particular thought process is born out of something in our history. Something that has us wanting to resist a person in authority telling us what to do. Somewhere, there's a very good chance that we were in a controlling relationship. Could have been a parent-child relationship. It could have been a sibling relationship. Could have been a boss-employer relationship. It could be an intimate relationship where someone was controlling, and we consciously or subconsciously said, if I ever get out of this, I will never get into something like this again, ever. And so anytime someone pushes that button, we're just get away from me. We throw the baby out with the bathwater. Tonight, just something to consider. From a practical standpoint, it might be interesting if we listen to the message and glean from it. What's the value in the message absent the messenger? The way in which they're saying it, or who is actually saying it, the messenger. That's what impacts teachable, is the messenger. The person in a position of authority is trying to use their authority to say something. Well, what they're saying may be very valuable. But there's a very good chance we may not hear it. We may choose not to hear it because we're just so yuck, don't want to be there. So take a look at teachable, because there's another challenge. I'm not here to teach you. I'm just here to be with you. I'm here to encourage you. I went through my own battles today. We were gone last weekend, and a wonderful experience with my parents. Long drive down, drive back. Jumped right into a big day yesterday. Woke up this morning. You know, it's time for us to hit the weights. This morning was with the chest, and you got flies, and you got bench press, and you got push-ups, and you know, I got to tell you, I had a moment walking across my family room to go into the gym, and I came really close. Came really close. I could hear these very thought processes. Pushing, this resistance, you know, voices saying, and not like schizophrenic voices, but just noise. And it's all first person. It sounds like me. And it takes a lot of energy in that moment to step back from it and say, stop this. Stop this. My first reaction when I did that this morning was, so you're going to gut out another day, huh? I mean, anybody been there? Anybody had one of those moments? I had one this morning. Going to gut out one another day? You're going to push through even though you're exhausted and you don't have any energy? And I said, yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, I'm going to. Whether you want to or not, I'm going to. I had this conversation walking across the family room. I went over and put something in the trash can in the kitchen downstairs and walked into the gym. There's Ramona. She's got the music on and she's warming up aerobically. And, you know, we got in the first exercise and pretty soon the blood's pumping and the music's playing. And, you know, we did a few extra things, some sit-up exercises at the end that aren't even on the schedule for the day. And then I watched Ramona get on the bike and just grind out an unbelievable routine after that for aerobic exercise. But the key was, when that was over, we were alive. We were alive. Then I got into my first coaching session this morning with an amazing human being, just amazing. And I think he taught me more than I taught him this morning when I shared. And we got done, and the day's been glorious ever since. Oh, we've been pushing hard. There hasn't been a moment to breathe. Lunch was at 2:30. Couldn't even catch the snack midday in the morning. Blew right through all of that because it was just one of those days. There were some people in trouble who needed to visit right then and needed to talk. And then every time there was an opening, that we took it to take those opportunities to visit throughout the day. The point is, we all face these voices. I have disciplined, teachable, and analytical out of balance in my life. But I love them because discipline has me thinking outside the box, being creative, finding creative solutions. I'll take the resistance. I'll fight that. I'll fight the resistance for the creativity that comes. Teachable? I'll fight the resistance to be able to be my own man, standing on my own 2 feet, acting on my own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reason, because I want to, I get to, I choose to, not because someone's telling me to. I'll deal with that resistance to authority, to have the strength to stand on my own 2 feet, won't you? Isn't that a great trait? The last one, analytical. Analytical's orange or red 97% of the time. Take a look at your assessment. This measurement simply measures thinking about thinking. Thinking about thinking. How much time are we just thinking about thinking? This is a great thing to know because most of us are very obsessive thinkers. Very obsessive. Now, we can use this to our advantage or we can let it crush us and we can crush others with it. Let's walk through the advantage first. I was writing today in the book, and I put a little chapter in there about an exercise. And it was about problem solving. One of the exercises, and I said, you're standing in a fortress. Small one, no windows, no doors, rock walls. I wanted you to notice the ladder sitting in the tall grass next to you. Can you see it? Pick it up and prop it up against the wall. Now climb up on top. The wall's wide, it's thick, so it's safe to stand up there. Just feel the breeze against your face. And from up here, the ability to see so clearly. And I said, outstretch your hands, palms down. Now push down with your palms against gravity until you lift off the wall and start to soar. And with each stroke of your hands, you go higher and higher. I took everybody on a journey around the mountains and valleys of possibilities, free from the tethers of doubt and fear and confusion. Analytical allows us to think effortlessly and to examine all of those places almost instantly. What a gift! Be able to take a problem and see it from 4 different directions. To think about 10 things at the same time. This is a gift. Now, are there there shadow sides to this? Oh, my goodness, yes. One, those we love will probably be going, yoo-hoo, David. Yoo-hoo. Come home. My body's here. My mind is somewhere else. That's a risk for me. When I'm driving in the car, I can go off into some place for hours. So can you. It's a wonderful place to go to think through things, so long as we're not doing something negative, because we can be as negative as we are positive. But that's a risk. We're somewhere else, too, because it's a systemic thought. When we build it, it is right or it is wrong. It is this or it is nothing. Somebody else agrees with 99%, but they don't like this 1%. Ugh! It's all or it's nothing. That's the risk with that thought. I constantly have to step back from and do pretty well most of the time. Sometimes I don't. Step back and see it as a thought, just a thought. It's not life or death. It wants me to think it's life or death, but it's not life or death. It really, the world's not going to come to an end if that's what, if I listen to somebody else's idea and I'm open to that idea. But that's a risk. The last one, there are several, but the last I'll mention tonight, is that we might think more than we do. We might be in 10 different directions. We like doing this so much, and it's so effortless, and things get done instantaneously. We may be resistant to being in the now, actually doing the work of creation. Because it takes so long. You know, tick, 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 till we're just ticked off. You know, it's just the time that it takes for the world to show up with what we've already seen so brilliantly in our mind as an entrepreneur. Everybody got that? Well, these are the three measurements we're dealing with. I'm hoping you're feeling some of the angst that we're resisting structure, we're being creative, we want everybody to be in our, with our idea, we're thinking outside the box, we want them in our box. Teachable, we're a little resistant to anyone in authority. And analytical, we're constantly obsessively thinking about new and better ways to do things and needing to be right about it or off somewhere in our mind. This is what entrepreneurs do, with this exception. Great entrepreneurs know how to manage these three powerful fire hoses. They know how to manage them. And they learn techniques for letting go of the need to be right. They learn techniques for listening a little differently and gleaning information without being resistant. And they learn to be creative but open to other people's creative ideas, knowing that nothing gets done in a vacuum, not in a business that has other people involved. It takes everyone's participation. And just like we want to be driven by our own ideas, people want to be driven by theirs too. It's a great thing to discover. But it's also, these three thought processes, primarily three, can be the single greatest barrier to your success. Single greatest barrier. You know, we've talked about fantasy and catastrophe, and we start to realize, why am I wasting my time and my mind going to a time when something's already happened and starting to live out all those things and getting, I want to focus between here and there. I want to engage in life. We get to make that choice. I want to engage in life. I want to create value, and I want to connect and serve other people. We're finally in the right space, and we're staying present in the now, passion-driven. And then these three walls show up. And for most of us, they have gone unchecked for a lifetime. They really have run the show. The number one cause of divorce, I believe, from the evidence I've seen, is an orange or red analytical shared by both mates that's uncontrolled. They have to be right. And they'll blow a marriage apart over the topping on a pizza. Should it be pepperoni or sausage? Well, this is a very dangerous thing for us to get involved in. Now we know what it is. Now we can see it. Just write down, am I disciplined? What do I like to do that I can absolutely follow through on every step because that's what I feel passionate about? And what are some of the things that I'm experiencing that are challenging? those things that are challenging. I mentioned last time we were at this particular quality, and I'll mention again, that several years ago I made the conscious decision, which you'll want to do too, to take this one on. This will be a battle royale. This will be a difficult challenge, but it'll be worth every ounce of energy you put into it. I was resisting structure, so I started scheduling more and more coaching clients with the intent of having a day so scheduled, followed by a day so scheduled, followed by a day so scheduled out weeks and months in advance, that I would finally have to stop and look at this. You know, Og talks about this in Scroll 5 when he says, Can I stand in today's path and do tomorrow's work? Can I do that work while standing here? No, I can't. But this part of our mind wants us to see all of that. It doesn't live in linear time. It lives in a gestalt. It sees it all at once. It sees our schedule for the next week, month, year, and we're overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by what needs to be done in the next week or month. When in fact, we're living right now, today. The only thing we want to focus on is what there is today and being fully present, finding joy in this journey, taking the clay we've been given, creating the most we can with it, blessing the lives of those that we're with. Well, after about 4 years of coaching, close to 4 years, coaching between 30 and 35 people a week, which is about 50 hours of coaching plus running a company and working on a book, I finally could feel this one letting go. I could feel it letting go. And now the days are so full, but they're joyfully full. It's like, could we got 10 minutes I could see this person? But I must admit there even then, sometimes when this thought process creeps back, it does. Because there will be times when people with these measurements need some downtime just to sharpen a saw. And interestingly, sometimes a change is as good as a rest, is going somewhere else, doing something different. You don't want to necessarily shut down the thought process, just use them for something other than like business. Use them with family, be as intent and as focused and as involved. And just unwind a little bit, because these are so powerful. We are going to want to discipline ourselves. We want to become our own boss. We want to be our own driver. Now, this is going to be an interesting challenge for some, because we're going into a very dangerous time in our economy. Very dangerous. I think if we knew how serious it was, we'd be very, very discouraged. I'm kind of glad we don't, because we just get to deal with it a day at a time in our own lives, and it's going to be imperative, imperative moving forward, that we learn to take on these thought processes, these three, and find joy in the journey, staying present in the now. Another reason for those power sessions. So that we can be fully present, have something so exciting occur that we feel joy in that moment. And we want more of it, and more of it, and more of it by being fully present in the now, fully engaged in life. That's how we finally break this pattern of resistance to structure. Most people, oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. There's a propensity, maybe even a proclivity, a natural negative tendency on the part of many to spend their life in resistance to stepping on the gas, holding back. It's exhausting to hold back, for fear that we'll get exhausted if we jump in, when in fact the very things we're doing to avoid are doing the very things we're trying to avoid. Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? The truth is that when we jump in with both feet and we fight past this discipline, the resistance and the resentment and the frustration, we fight past all that and we just jump in, we get to meet ourselves. Wow. Where'd that come from? We endowed with more ability, people are put on our path almost magically. It's wonderful. We serve them, they serve us. Life becomes glorious, but none of that happens when we're holding back and not jumping in full speed. Now, someone will say, well, no, life is supposed to just be peaceful. No, life is not supposed to be peaceful. I call that the mental monastery of meditation, where we try to go to some place that is not consistent with reality. We want to establish it as our reality, and then we get frustrated every time reality shows up differently. Reality is going to show up differently because that's reality. We're either going to play or we're going to be in resistance, and we're going to be angry and frustrated for a lifetime. And when we get ready to leave this planet, we're going to look back and go, wow, if I'd have just run a little faster, worked a little harder, had a little bit more fun, let go, oh my goodness, what have I missed? We missed a lifetime because we let these three thought processes cause us to resist structure because somebody else is trying to impose it, resist someone in a position of authority and not hear what they have to say, constantly obsessively thinking and resisting other people's ideas and needing to be right, isolating ourselves from friends, from family. This is an awful way to live if we don't manage the shadow sides of these three measurements. So tonight, if I beat this to death just a little bit, it's an invitation both to manage them, and it's an invitation to finally jump into life. To jump in. Because if we don't, Og so kindly said, today I shed my old skin. And we shed it because we've grown. I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. That means we have been bruised. What causes a bruise, a contusion? Generally impact with something. What causes a wound, a cut? Those things don't happen in a vacuum. When we hold back and we act mediocre, there's a baseball bat swinging at us. Absolutely swinging at us. And we're getting pummeled by it. That's what Og's talking about. Today I begin a new life. I'm going to take on this life. I'm going to engage in this life. I'm going to take my foot off the brake and push on the gas. I'm going to stop resisting and resenting all those things that have created bruises and wounds. I'm going to grow and I'm going to shed that old skin. I'm going to get it off of me. Today I'm born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all, which means I become abundant and have more than enough and can share. This is a great place to live. He also made it clear that every morning we do the same thing. Every morning. Today I begin a new life. And we shed. And every time there's fewer bruises and fewer cuts and scratches. But nonetheless, we're growing beyond until we are free of the baseball bat of life. When it's hitting us from being slow. Now we get to take on the challenges. We get to take them on. I'd like to read to you, if I may, from the book. I want to scroll down here for a moment. There was a moment in my life when this just came so painfully clear. I was, I've shared the story, but I have never shared this paragraph. It's now in the book. Just give me a second. I'll go right down to it. I'm getting closer. Planning and goal setting. Here we go. We're getting down just below this. This was a time when I was in the ninth grade, actually the end of the eighth grade, end of the ninth grade, just before 10th grade, and was at spring football in Alabama. And this moment came of what I call flipping a switch. When my mouse just stopped functioning. That's kind of unusual, isn't it? Jump first, peace second. I think I'm getting closer. Here it is. I just want to read this one paragraph to you, because this is when I decided to take my foot off the brake and put on the gas. I just want you to hear this. I'm in the ninth grade. We're in a football practice. And I'm finally facing my fears. This is what it sounds like. In all seriousness, the memory of what was about to happen next is indelibly imprinted on my mind. And I share this because every one of us are at a moment of decision every day. And we're here tonight at a moment of decision. We were running a drill in which a quick guard pulls and in theory goes down the line and blindsides a salivating defensive end who thinks he's unblocked. Of course, in a drill, everyone knows exactly what is about to happen. No surprises. Soon it would be my turn. In that moment, let this be your moment tonight. Not my idea, just are you ready? My paralyzing fears of getting hurt and my dreams of playing football finally collided. How about yours? Your fears of talking to people versus your dreams of creating a successful business or relationship. I was so sick and tired of being afraid, of holding back, of going half speed, of cowering before contact. So many applications for our lives. As I stood there pondering how pathetic I had been showing up, I started to hear a different voice coming from a distant recess deep in my mind. Somehow I knew this voice. It was familiar. As I stood preparing for my turn to run the drill, it, speaking of the voice, grew louder and louder. I now know that this voice had been violently exiled while in my early childhood. What's happened in your life? What have you been dragging around in your sack that has silenced your courage? In this place, vulgar voices of fear and doubt had reigned unchallenged. Anybody had those? Just they scream so loudly that you're just frozen when you go to pick up a telephone or talk to someone. At this moment, all I knew was that it spoke with a power and peace I longed to feel. What if you go, let go? What if you went full speed? What if? These questions resonated and vibrated with the fibers of my being. This message finally and triumphantly burst through my fortified walls of fear. It was now the dominant voice, and much to my surprise, my real voice. That was really me. That other noise wasn't me. It's just these thought processes, these habits of thinking. My real voice was a triumphant voice. I will let go. I will go full speed, I said. In that pivotal moment, everything in my life changed. Everything. It was as if someone had flipped a switch. I felt alive. It was as if I were 6'5" and weighed 290 pounds. It was my turn to run the drill. I lined up, got down in my stance, and waited for the ball to be snapped. The quarterback yelled, "Hike," and we were off. I pivoted and pulled down the line with all the power in my being, created a collision of such magnitude that it knocked the unsuspecting defensive end on his buttocks. We want to note that this guy had been practicing with me for 2 weeks. He wasn't expecting that. Well, the coach threw his clipboard on the ground and started jumping up and down, yelling, "That's it. That's what we want. That's what I've been looking for." He grabbed my helmet, yanked it around, and read my name, Blanchard. It was written on medical tape in the front of my helmet. "Do it again, Blanchard." I lined up again. The feeling was still present. The ball was snapped, and I did it again. Of course, the defensive end was a little better prepared this time and braced for the impact, but I was going full speed. Nothing held back. Nothing held back. And it felt so freeing. Why had I been so afraid to go full speed? Why did I wait so long to find this peaceful and exhilarating place? The false evidence, that's fear, false evidence appearing real, had appeared to be so very real. The fear was an illusion. And then this thought, could I get hurt doing this? My body could, but not me. Yet both were at risk when I let fear rule my life. I'm going to read that again because somebody needed to hear that tonight. Could I get hurt doing this? My body could, but not me. Yet both were at risk when I let fear rule my life. I was uncorked, unplugged, and finally living instead of resisting and resenting and rebelling and wallowing in my fear. What joy. Well, for most people struggling in fear, we're going to have some self-esteem issues. We'll get to those here in a couple weeks. But the ones that hold us back, that resist and resent, that want to control our lives, control, that's what they do. All or nothing, right or wrong, it's control. They want to control our lives. Discipline, teachable, analytical. How long have they been controlling? Are we sick and tired of it enough? Have we reached that point where we're willing to finally free our voice, no matter how deeply buried it is in our soul? Free it. Recognize it for what it is, our real voice. Recognize this noise for what it is, unhealthy habits of thinking, at least the shadow sides of these thoughts. Are we finally ready to take our foot off the brake, put on the gas, and take charge of our lives? We can't be taught very much until we're here. Very little matters until we make this decision. It'll show up in everything we do. It'll talk us out of showing up for a person and listening to understand so that we're safe. It'll talk us out of being empathetic and asking questions that demonstrate that we understand. There's going to be noise in there about wanting to tell our story and be in control of the conversation and throwing up on their wall and tearing it down with a sledgehammer. These are the thought processes that create those reactions, the shadow sides of these thought processes. Want to use our mind constructively? Get inspired ideas? That's not a right-wrong world. That's a world of sheer inspiration to ignite our passion. Passion we can bring to drive our actions. When we're connecting with people, using our mind constructively to get those inspired ideas that ignite our passion, and then working with passion-driven action, these three things cannot occur at a high level when these thought processes, the shadow sides of these thought processes, are screaming so loudly. So, here we are tonight, moment of decision. If you've been through this a few times, this is your first time here, I would encourage you to take a serious look. This week, we're going to do power sessions again. But I'd like to have you do them with this knowledge now in mind. When you get up in the morning, know that every one of us, me included, are going to be taking on these thought processes. Everyone does. It gets easier at times. At times it's really hard, huh, sweetheart? Sometimes it's just really hard. Sometimes they win. When they do, the day is miserable. It just is. But we have the courage to take them on, knowing that this is what establishes the day. Back in the driver's seat, I'm driving the bulldozer, not being pushed around by these thought processes. I want to have the best day of my life, whether they want to or not. And knowing that when we choose those three moments and we start mentally rehearsing the first one, We jump in and we bring all of our power, that means our mind and our body, to that moment. That we can create a miracle with someone. Take down a wall of resistance. Create a safe place. Learn and serve and share. Consider the scrolls, 5, 9, and 7, morning, noon, and night, to support you. If you can do it without them, bless you. I can't. I just need something to kind of give me a jump start. Journaling at the end of the day, great idea. You'll want to have these memories to reflect on later, because they'll be life changers. But let us go into the power sessions this week from this place. Am I going to let these thought processes keep me from creating magnificence with my life? Or am I going to finally, in this moment of frustration, of being so sick and tired of fear and resistance and resentment, that we're finally going to flip the switch, so that you can show up? Because here's my promise to you tonight. When this happens, and you show up, you will be surprised. Wow. Why have I been waiting so long? Wow, this is joyful. Wow, this feels so good. Now you're alive. Now these habits of thinking will come back the next day and the next day. But just know you got to fight through that initial piece for about an hour in the morning. Get through it. Get in charge. Get on top of it. Get that scroll read. Get that first power session going so that you can find that freedom again. Ah, oh, that feels so good. And the more times you have those experiences, the easier it will become. And I've alluded to this twice now tonight. I'll close with this because we're going to absolutely need it. Let us do it now before we're absolutely compelled, thrust into this. Let us do it now. Let us take that charge. Let us make that decision. Because it's ours to make. And nobody else can make it for us. And reading all the books in the world and going to coaching sessions day and night will not change it. The change must come from within, and it's your choice. It's my hope that our conversation tonight might give you some courage to consider it. But finally, so I'm going to let this go. I'm going to use the creative side of disciplined. I'm going to use the independent part of teachable. I'm going to use the effortless thinking part of analytical. But all those shadow sides, I'm not going to tolerate. Not anymore. Not anymore. They have robbed me of too much, and they will rob me no more. So take this on to assist you this week. I'd like you to study scroll number 6. Scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. Weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts, consciously choosing to not have these thought processes running our life. There will be times when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down, Og tells us. Yeah, there are. Before that happens, he's given us some great counsel. He's also told us, tying into the concept of empathy, taught in scroll number 2, I'll greet this day with love in my heart, agape love, that how I show up impacts everyone else. Trees and plants depend on the weather, but yea, I transport my weather with me. I do. And what am I bringing? Am I conscious enough to know how these resistant, rebellious thought processes are making me want to whine and complain and commiserate? I'm not going to waste one moment in this space. Let us be as triumphant as we possibly can, knowing that even in a world where there is limited opportunity, there's always opportunity for someone who's conscious and alert, who's willing to pay this price. Success can be yours. But it's contingent on you making these decisions. And I do hope that you'll see the value for you and your family and your friends, your business, by having the absolute courage to do so. We'll take this on this week, Power Sessions with a New Perspective. And next week we're going to take on Joy in the Journey. Because when we are in this space, we're not all of a sudden exempt from challenges. The difference between being awake and hit a challenge and not being awake and hit a challenge is that when we're aware, we'll learn from it, we'll get through it quickly, and we'll move forward. If we're not conscious, we'll hit into it, we'll have to stop and get some wounds sewed up and blood cleaned off, and then we're going to be angry and frustrated and whining why it happened to us, and we'll waste days getting past our obstacle. We're going to get them. It's just part of life. It's part of reality. That's just where we live. This is mortal existence. How are we going to take them on? Well, I could keep going tonight, but I think that's enough for tonight. Thanks for being with us. We deeply appreciate it.